We're going to talk about something in John's Gospel this morning. It's 36 verses in chapter 3 is where we're at this morning of John's Gospel, chapter 3. As we're touring now through the New Testament, and when we finish with John's Gospel, which won't be this morning, when we finish with John's Gospel, we will be jumping over into 1 Corinthians because that's where we've left off. We've kind of alternated going through from Matthew, then we went over to Acts, and then we went back to Mark, and then we went to Romans, and then we went back over to Luke. But then at Luke, we decided because John's Gospel, his approach is a little different, so we decided we'd just carry on through and finish John's Gospel, and then we'll pick it up in 1 Corinthians. So you have an idea of where we're going as we're going through the New Testament. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." Nicodemus, interesting character. Oftentimes we look at him as, well, maybe he's kind of a cowardly fellow. He's out doing his travels in the night and going to Jesus. Well, I don't know. The guy was probably a busy guy too. Let's give him a little credit. The guy who had a full-time commitment as a Pharisee, as a ruler of the Jews. He was a very well-respected person in his community. It's kind of interesting because Nicodemus was, these religious leaders were very wealthy individuals. This guy was wealthy, well-respected, had position, and also religion. But he knew something was missing. You see, we live in a world today, a society today, this part of the country, right where we are, right in our communities, right around us here, there's a lot of people that have a lot of things, just as far as just the worldly items. They're not lacking a whole lot. And we look around, you know, there's a lot of them have very respected business positions. A lot of them are doing very well economically, maybe even respected. And I dare say many probably have religion of some sort. And yet what's interesting to me, just as we see with Nicodemus, there was something missing in his life. See, I think sometimes we still look on the outside and we still look at the external. And I think this is a good kind of a time as we start the first of the year to kind of refocus on what really, really is important. Because Jesus says something here about being born again. And I know for me growing up, this was a term that came on the scene. You know, it's not a brand new term, but became very, very popular in the late 60s, early 70s. all through the 70s, very, very popular. Oh, I think they're one of those born-again groups. I'm not sure, you know. And it started to become kind of a derogatory term, actually, during the Jesus People movement and stuff. It was kind of used in a somewhat derogatory way, and it's kind of implied that there was an extreme vantage point or something about God and so on. And yet I find that this is a term that Jesus uses and is very comfortable to using, and we shouldn't be uncomfortable with it. You know, I know it's been run into the ground by many, both positive and negative, but it's still a biblical term, and it has a good implication as far as being born again. There must be a transfer that takes place, Jesus is saying. Something that happens in the eternal realm that goes on. And I know that you all are familiar with this portion of Scripture. This is not brand new. This isn't new to us as a group of believers. But what's interesting to me as we look at this is that Jesus is very clear about this and is emphatic and is absolutely, you know, it's a must, he says. It's a must. It's not an option, it's a must. There are a few things that are musts in the Scripture, and this is what's interesting to me. I don't care whether anybody's driven this into the ground, the term, or whatever. Jesus said you must be born again. Not it's optional, and maybe if that works for you, because you'll find when people talk to you about your relationship with the Lord, a lot of times the response that I get, that many of you might get, and they may just say to you, well, I'm glad religion is working for you. And I make it perfectly clear, and I would encourage you to do the same, unless that's what you have. That's not what I have. I don't have religion. I don't want religion. I don't want to be a part of religion. Religion seeks to establish its own righteousness by means of one's own efforts, to try and be right with God by the things you do. Jesus said, no, absolutely not. It's not what you do, it's who you know. And it is being born into a family that allows you to have everlasting life, and for me to have everlasting life. It is a gift of God to you and to me. And as we start this 2010, the clock keeps ticking. Some of us don't have long to live, possibly. I don't know. I don't know your days. I don't know my days. They're numbered by the Lord Jesus Christ. God has numbered your days. God has numbered my days. What will you do with the remainder of your days? Will you stockpile resources so that you can leave them to your kids? Great. Praise the Lord. But to of what avail? It's not a bad thing, but is it to be the main thing? There should be a main focus in our lives. And when we look at this, we see, wow, Jesus is talking to a wealthy guy, an established guy. He's got religion. He's a leader of religion. And yet this guy's coming to him saying, I'm empty. I see who you are. I see what, and I'm drawn to this. And I'm missing something. And Jesus tells him something that is just blows his mind. He can't assimilate. He just can't. What are you saying that I've got to go back into my mother's womb? I mean, come on, this is just ridiculous. When you talk about and you say, man, you know, I really had a great time with the Lord this morning. And the Lord really spoke to my heart. And I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me. When I'm talking to a non-believer and they say, so you talk to God, do you? If you're not talking to God, you're not going to be saying that much about it, are you? But if you're talking with God and you say that, you can clearly say, yeah, as a matter of fact, we interact. I read through his word and he speaks to me through his word, through a still small voice, through the interaction of the Spirit of God as God moves upon our lives. And as God's doing these things, Jesus is so clear here. He says, hey, one is you, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You have no perspective on the kingdom of God. You're just functioning in religion. And he tells him, he says, don't marvel. He said, what's born of the flesh is flesh. If you flip really quickly, because this really kind of solidifies this, to 1 Peter, very quickly. 1 Peter. And you remember in Romans, we talked about the fact that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. that proclamation of the word. We also know in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, that the seed is the word of God. And as you're throwing out the seed, the world is the field. And as you're throwing out the seed into the field, this is God's going to do a work in and through that. And it talks about that in the four different positions that you find people when the word of God lands in the soil of their hearts. But here it says in verse 22 of chapter 1, 1 Peter, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love of one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again," now you are born into a new family, "having been born again, not of corruptible seed," which is what we are born. We are born that way. We are born corruptible seed. That's just the simple fact. The natural process, it's corruptible ultimately. You and I'm learning as time goes by, as I wake up and every joint starts to hurt. And, you know, Lo asked me the other day, she goes, "Hey, it must be really, really cold out. I'm really stiff today." I can't tell. I feel like this every day anymore, so I don't know. But be thankful it only happens when it's really cold. For me, it's pretty much every day I'm sore, you know. But this is part of the corruptible flesh. Our bodies deteriorate over time. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God," which is that seed, "which lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you." That word of God, that seed that was planted in your life, that word that we share, the gospel, the good news of who Jesus really is. Jesus is speaking about that. Not being born of the flesh, but being born of the Spirit. "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." And he is talking generically to all humanity. He is talking to everyone. You must be born again. It's not optional. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, well, maybe that works for you, but if you can go crawl on your knees and pay penance and do this and do that, then maybe you can have everlasting life too." Jesus doesn't say that. He says, you must be born again. And the only way that happens is by a spiritual transaction that takes place. It is fallacy. It is foolishness. I absolutely reject it. It is not biblical. It is extra biblical, and it is absolutely absurd to think that there is any other way to have everlasting life. Do not get duped into this. I know all the higher intellect that we've got out there tells us, well, wait a minute, that's kind of narrow-minded. Well, Jesus talked to us about that, didn't he? Narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So I reject it. Why do I reject it? Because I'm very clear that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane made a very clear discussion with the Father and said, if there be any other way that sinful man can have a relationship with you, let this cup pass from me. And he was referring to the cross. He went to the cross. It is a fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's a fact that he was crucified 2,000 years ago. 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus. Why am I speaking so passionately, so firmly about this today? I want to stir your hearts. I believe the Lord wants to stir your hearts. The Lord wants to stir you up to remind you that you must, not just you, but when you carry this message outside these four walls, we have a message that says you must be born again. It's not some optional deal. It's not, well, if that works for you, well, that's good, you know, because that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And the only way to be born again is through that simple prayer of faith where I say, where I've had enough of me. You ever just get sick of you? Even as a believer, you ever just get sick of yourself? You know, you're just like, oh, you just make me sick, you know? You know, just sometimes when you've just been in a bad fleshy pattern or something, and you just got, what are you thinking about? It's all about you. You just get sick of yourself sometimes. Man, that's a great time for the refresher. You know, just getting refreshed, getting immersed again, washed in the water of the Word. You know, just get immersed in the presence of the Lord. And just let Him bathe you with His goodness and His grace. And be reminded, be refreshed, be encouraged that you and I have been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible through the Word of God that was spoken to our hearts as we receive Jesus Christ. So it's that simple prayer of faith, that confession, that profession that says that I believe in you. Not I believe in some system, not I believe in some good idea, but I believe in the person of Jesus Christ. I want to accept you as my personal Savior. I want to receive you into my heart. I want to open my life up to you. There's an eternal transaction that takes place that your mom and your dad, your aunt and your uncle, your grandma and your grandpa, that you as a parent can't do for your child, that no one can do for anybody else, husbands, wife, boyfriends, girlfriends. No one can make this transaction. And that is the eternal transaction that takes place in the realm of the Spirit as we give ourselves over to the Lord and we are put into His care. Now you are sealed as we give our lives to the Lord. It says we are sealed with His Spirit of promise. That which, now it's this, it's talking about an insignet ring marked in the seal that says that parcel, that item, that stuff in that box, whatever it might be, as a steward went out to gather goods for his master, that then now it's sealed its mark, no matter where that is, wherever it travels in the world, that it belongs to his master. You see, you and I have been sealed with that Spirit of promise. You and I are seen in the realm of the Spirit, in the spirit realm, as a follower of Jesus Christ. You are seen as marked out, identified as God's possession. That puts a little bit of a target on you, though, because the enemy wants to destroy your life and my life. That's just a simple fact. He also wants to drag you down. He wants to make you look like an idiot. Well, what do you mean, wants to make me? He wants you to compromise so that it nullifies anything that you have to say about the person of Jesus Christ. Your salvation might still be intact, but your witness is screwed up, destroyed somewhat. This is why we have to guard our hearts. And so we look at this, and you must be born again. It's not optional. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that how many get to the Father without Him? No one. No one gets to the Father. Settle the issue. Quit arguing intellectually about it. It's a waste of time. You see, we spend so much, even as believers, trying to figure out, I don't know if I really think that. You know what? I don't give myself those options anymore. I don't even really care that much about what I think. Because what does God say? It's not that you throw your mind in the trash can. I'm not implying that. I'm saying when it comes to certain matters like this, use your mind to understand what God is saying to you. When He says something, now, it's not for you to slice and dice and fit into your packaging. It's for you to look at that and say, well, fair enough. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. You must be born again. Well, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of options, does it? So what should my mission be then as a follower of Jesus Christ? Bambi-pambying around and just saying, I'm sure it'll all work out. Is that what my goal should be? My goal shouldn't be trying to figure out what the other options are. My goal should be really being clear about there are no other options. It's option A. There is no plan B. It's option A, Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected. That's it. And all this other discussion is a waste of time. For me, I have no minutes for that. Love people, will listen, but if I get a word in, man, it's going to be, yep, that's great. But Jesus, and I just go right to the, I go for right down the throat and grab a hold of the heart. I just try and hang on to it, you know? Because that's where it's going to come together. The transaction is made in the realm of the Spirit as we, with our mouths, profess and believe from our hearts that Jesus is Lord. Do you know what? Your friends, your family, my friends, my family, everybody we know, anybody we see, people we don't know, it's bow down now and accept that Jesus is Lord and receive him and receive all the benefits of that, or later, and it's too late. No benefit. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And you guys can all, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. The whole world can laugh and think you are just an idiot. I don't care, because I know when I get to the other side, that's going to happen. When it's all said and done, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's start our new year being assured of our faith in Jesus Christ, that it is not in vain, that it is not it works for me thing. I just don't believe that. Yes, it does work for you, but there's so much more. You must be born again. Now, Jesus kind of challenges him with this thought about the wind and that the Spirit is like the wind and that you don't always know where it comes and where it goes. You can't always explain exactly how it works, but that you know it's there. You know it happens. The wind happens. You know it's there. I love to look at the scriptures through where the wind shows up. That's one of the things why we sung that song today. Rushing wind blow through this temple. Keith Green wrote that many years ago, prior to his tragic death in a plane crash. Used by the Lord in wonderful ways. Definitely by many, I'm sure, seen as an extremist during his time. Left us with some great music, though, and a great witness for Jesus Christ. Rushing wind blow through this temple. It's talking about your heart, my heart. Cleansing out the sin within. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your sin or my sin. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing can purge it. This is a guy that was wealthy, respected, had position, had religion that he thought was, hopefully doing it, but he saw something was missing. He knew something was missing. And Jesus told him, man, you got to be born again. You must be born again. How can these things be, this whole wind? And Jesus answers to him in verse 10, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? There was an appointed person that was kind of the overseer of the making sure that teaching was going on. And he was like the head teacher. So he was really had a very revered position. And Jesus said, man, it's not just like he was a teacher, but you have this role and yet you don't understand. And Jesus is going back into Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37. And he's saying, don't you get that connection there? This is a scripture that they were all familiar with. Chapter 36, saying that there is going to be a rebuilding of the nation of Israel, that that the people are going to be put back together. And then it goes on, remember chapter dry bones? You remember chapter 37? And it talks about the dry bones. And then ultimately it goes down and says, prophesy to the wind. Ruach, the Hebrew, means spirit or wind, one and the same. Pneuma in the Greek. Prophesy to that there might be this, and he's talking about the breath of life. There was muscle, there was skin, the bones were assembled back together, but there was no life until the spirit was breathed into them. When you and I receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, the Spirit comes in and makes residency in your heart, in my heart. He lives within you, and you now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing to know. And wherever you go, wherever you are, the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, has drawn near. In that situation, wherever you are, whatever's going on, the Spirit of God has drawn near. And I think it's important for us to know that's what we carry with us wherever we are. And you say, well, I don't know. There's some stuff places where I'm going where I don't know that I would really want to bring the Spirit. You brought it with you. And if you think it's uncomfortable, then maybe you ought to rethink where you are and what you're doing. Be a good way to purge some things out. Add and subtract. Add more of the Lord. Release some of these other things. Jesus says, wow, so all of this stuff was going on, and yet you're not familiar, you're not thinking that this is what must happen. That Spirit had to be breathed upon those bones, you know, onto that, the muscle, the sinew, all this had to be breathed into them that they might have life. You know, what is it that they are looking for? And Jesus, in verse 13, in 12 and 13, is telling them, well, gosh, the things that we're testifying of, the things that he's sharing with them, he goes, I'm from there. I'm from the spirit realm. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm from eternity. You know, the other thing that's powerful thought, and we'll leave with this thought this morning. One of the things that necessitates us being born again, that's so important, is you and I need a new nature. We need a new nature. We're born with a sin nature. The spirit is dormant. Adam couldn't pass on what he no longer possessed. He gave his rights up to that. So now it goes dormant. We need the Spirit activated. We need to be born again in that sense. Because all we have is the sin nature that's there within us. Now, I have a little beagle. And when I walk my little beagle around, my little beagle, if it sees a squirrel, goes crazy. Absolutely just bonkers, goes crazy. I mean, I can't hang on to her barely. You know, she's just a little thing, but I can barely hang on because she is just all about going after that squirrel. It is in that little beagle's nature. It has been bred to chase squirrels. That's what it was born to do, chase squirrels. It's nature to do that. You see, you and me, it's my nature, it's your nature to chase after sin. It's our nature. This is why we must be born again. We need a new nature put within us. We need that birth of Jesus Christ within our hearts, within our lives, that now, I know the sin nature still rears its ugly head. I know that there's an appetite for, I know that, but I'm not obligated. I can restrain from chasing after that because I have a new nature. Romans tells me this, that I am to reckon the old man to be dead. In other words, I am to acknowledge that it has no longer power or dominion over me, but that I have a new nature within. And so what I have to do is make sure I'm seeing things from the right perspective, that I'm living from that right perspective so that I am operating off of the new nature. This is why we want to be in the Word of God. This is why we want to be in prayer. This is why we want to be in fellowship. This is why we need these ingredients, because it builds up the new nature within us. Because as developing believers, no, it doesn't matter how old we are, we're developing believers, all of us. That's what makes us a disciple, always learning. That's a disciple, always learning. And so because of that new nature, we want to be nurturing that and letting God build that up in our lives that we might mature. And maturity then says that, man, I want to discipline my life in the ways that are going to bring God honor and glory so that I can be more useful to my master. That's a mature perspective. Not that I can go do whatever I want and still have salvation. Immature perspective. Mature perspective is, man, I want to develop and grow that I might be as useful as possible in my master's hands. And really, that choice is up to you. That choice is up to me. That's our individual choice. But the Lord's desire is to shape and mold you. The Father wants you to be more and more like his Son, Jesus Christ. As we go on, there's a few more musts that we're going to find in this chapter that we'll discuss thoroughly in our next Bible study next week. Father, we do thank you that your word is so definitive, that there's not so many options that we get confused with all the options, but that we understand we must be born again. Lord, it helps us to know our mandate that we have divinely given to us by you, that we would proclaim who you are, that we would proclaim your power and your love, the forgiveness of sin, and the reality that not only we must be born again, in order to see the eternal things, we must be born again. Lord, may we settle that issue, that in the days that you give us on this earth, that we might be used by you to proclaim this truth. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come upon us as a congregation of believers, as individuals, that you might embolden us to be able to proclaim the gospel, that you might bring in a wonderful harvest, that salvation would visit this part of the country. Not religion, but true relationship with the one true living God by being born again. Lord, we thank you that you've affirmed this truth and that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through you. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for making yourself known to us. Lord, we want to walk in your ways and we want to please you. Lord, we want to surrender and ask that your Spirit would come upon us and empower us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts, that it might bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.